Fea. I've been speaking there in the Swedish Radio Krishna on my podcast Bhakti Yoga for Us Beginners. Emphasizing that Bhakti and Bhakti Yoga is about being Krishna conscious, to always, you know, to learn to always live in that relationship to God, to Krishna, who is here all the time, with us all the time, and that we can turn to all the time, whenever we want, whenever we need. And for a bhakta, that means all the time, living with that awareness, and that the knowledge there in the Bhagavad Gita, and that the sadhana bhakti that we learn to perform is about leading us to that consciousness, training us. By helping us into that worldview, that cosmology, you could say, of this world being Krishna rather than this world being some form, some matter. With us, whoever we are sitting in it. Well, the knowledge is about that in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but also the practices, the sadhana, the going to temple, doing bhajans, doing archanam, pujas, artis, and all of that. The, you know, ritualistic performance, you could say, where the word ritualistic, well, today often carries a slightly negative meaning, which I think also reflects something important, that we should understand, and this comes from the knowledge, that these activities we do, these programs and ceremonial functions and all of that, have that purpose. They are not just in themselves what it's all about. But it's about doing them with love and devotion for God, for Krishna. And by doing them, since they are being done for Krishna, for God, whether we have bhakti devotion or not, we serve, you know, the acharya, our guru like that, the mission, serving Krishna, because the guru and the acharya is the one who serves Krishna, is a devotee of Krishna. So by helping the real devotees, the more mature and experienced devotees, those who we can see actually carry that mission, then we are also, of course, participating in that bhakti yoga, and the bhakti will then also develop and grow in our own hearts. Although in the beginning, well, it becomes more a matter of ritualistic performance, as you could say. But then if the actual understanding of the transcendental, spiritual soul to soul nature and reality of bhakti yoga then it might be so that we become religious, meaning thinking that it is those activities in themselves that it's all about. You know, I have to cook and offer food to God in order to make God satisfied. And then when I shovel that plate into the temple deity room there, ring my bell and say my mantras, then God is pleased with me and I've done my job and I'm good and I perform bhakti yoga, which of course did, but well, if there is bhakti involved, if that activity is actually done with love and devotion for God. And of course God, Krishna doesn't need our food, right? He has much better food than what we can ever do, make. And we learn that he accepts the love and devotion, right? So therefore the activity the vegetables, the food stuff, the pots and all of that, it's not the active ingredient, so to speak, here, but is a way of expressing that devotion. And so but if, which I would say is at least one of the things that turns, and we can see it historical, it tends to turn living real spirituality into rigid religious systems where people, you know, after some generations are just going, I'm sounding very negative now, but I've seen it. People are mainly, and many people, followers, are basically going through those routines. Yes, I should go to church every Sunday, should do this, should do that, should read the holy book certain amount of time every day, should do the worship or prayers, and you know, all of that, which is good. But if it stops there, and then those same people who do those things and who are thus accepted in that group as bona fide people of God, whatever, if then they think that this is it, now we're good because we're doing that, then they may live the lives, their lives, the rest of their lives during their days just like any other materialist, or maybe not outwardly. They may be dressed in spiritual clothes and they may be living in spiritual groups and whatever. They may have fine titles of spiritual people. But then even within that environment, within that congregation or group, they may behave, when it really comes down to it, selfishly and cold-heartedly and even cruelly. And because their inner qualities have not really changed since their emphasis and their understanding of spirituality is rather external activities and groups and this and that. And that is, I would say, how religions, those that I never really liked, develop from true spirituality. So, if you're still with me here, why I'm talking about this is to really pinpoint here, also from my own life experience, that this is what it's about. It's about Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, to live our lives in whatever way we live our lives. Each one has his or her life. But do it, of course, in a good, sattvic, non-violent, honest, caring, not greedy and selfish way, you know, the proper sattvic life. Which, interestingly enough, I even heard members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness say a sattvic life, that's useless, that's also material. But sattvic is on the way to Suddha sattvic, which is our real nature, our pure, original, natural state. And I would say this kind of I guess you who hear this do not reason that way, but I've heard it. This kind of even rejection of the mode of goodness, of sattvic living. Again, motivated by or justified by that kind of reasoning, that the activities I do for my guru, for Krishna and for God, these are devotional activities, and they're so good in themselves, although I'm just working like a horse doing something and then, you know, full passion. And maybe sometimes doing the wrong thing and being in ignorance and illusion and, you know, all of those. As long as I just, you know, I'm a member of the right group and doing those activities, and I'm taught there, then I don't have to worry about my own inner qualities if I'm acting in sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. But you know, rajasic means that you are selfish, you are full of desires that you're trying to fulfill. And then people who are like that very much inside, when they get into a religious movement, for instance, they might just start acting like that, gaining power or making profits, some or other, creating a comfortable and enjoyable situation for themselves within that social group or context, often disguised into some position of great spiritual authority or something like that. I mean, this, if you think I'm now criticizing something, I'm talking very general, and you find it in different religions. So it's more of a principle that may, and more often than not, tends to kick in when a spiritual path or tradition or so turns into a religious institution, you could say. So what I really talk about here is that we, you and I, who are walking this path of bhakti, of bhakti yoga, and I think especially today, when we live in secular societies, unless we are living in India, where this Vaishnava culture is more there in the social system, people are familiar with it, and you can act in your ordinary daily life. In a way that naturally integrates with the practices of sadhana bhakti, for instance. Whilst, if you are in Sweden, for instance, which is rather, or has been, a rather atheistic, materialistic society, it's a bit harder to integrate your daily life as a Swedish person with the practices and the the dress code and this and that of Vaishnavis. Of course, you can convert into a Hindu, and now I'm a Hindu and I'm dressing like an Indian and I'm hanging out with such people, which is what we largely did, and some still do, some don't. And the reason I'm saying all this is that this understanding of bhakti as being something in there, in the heart, it's about how, what's going on there in our minds, what we think about in here, wherever we are physically. And what understanding and view we have there in our intelligence as to what the world is, what we are, and what the meaning of our lives is, and what we should do with our life. You know, when that is there, with the wisdom found there in the Gita and the Bhagavatam and so on, then it doesn't really matter so much which society we live in, how our clothes and homes and jobs look like. Or even what people we associate with. Although a devotee of bhakti yoga wants to associate, of course, with others like-minded. That is especially valuable for devotees of God, because as we learn, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra hoy, this is the most important. But what I really wanted to say here, and what is the important thing I'm trying to get across here, is that each one of us has the right to, and the, I would say even the duty to, and the freedom to, and the, it's about the very purpose of our life, is to live the life that we, each and every one of us, has been born here to live. We have a nature, we have a personal path here that we are walking upon. I said that's the most important as far as our life in this world goes, how to, you know, make it happy and satisfying and successful. And I would say this is Varnashram Dharma in a nutshell. But I don't want to talk about that here, but you know, I see, and you don't have to agree with me if you don't see it that way, or think that I see wrong. But I see sometimes, just as I saw when I was a kid and youngster, and I looked at the adults who were in religions, who were very religious, I can see those who want to be Vaishnavas. And who then come in contact with, for instance, the Krishna Conscious Movement here. And how do I become a Vaishnava? How can I be a devotee of God? Yeah, you do this, 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 and that. Oops, I'm going to have time to do all of those things. I already have a job and a family or studies or whatever. Well, in the old days, we just said, yeah, you give up all of those things. Give up your studies, give up your job, give up your home, your apartment and whatever. And just move in the temple, become a bhakta or bhaktin. And then you're on the right path and everything is fine now. And you work, you know, for the temple president or your guru or so. That was the solution, the only solution. And then, of course, we had to accommodate the fact that some couldn't move in the temple and do all that full 100% engagement. And now it seems that it's more socially integrated, you could say, into the outside society, which is good. And this is a bit what I'm talking about. But then, again, if you have this view then upon doing, you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this, programs, your life just basically could become a program, a daily routine of following programs. Now, I get up this time and I do that, and then I do that, and then I do that, and I, you know, I chant my 16 rounds. It's more a matter of accomplishing some activity, a program. And of course, that's what sadhana is, right? So it's a beginner's thing. I'm not saying anything against that, of course. But again, one can see it more in terms of an accomplishment, a pious activity, you could say. If I, you know, if I chant that Hare Krishna mantra so and so many times, my 16 rounds, then I have accomplished it. I'm good. It's like a pious activity when you see it that way. But if you rather see it that, yes, now I will spend this time on my day, every day, with Krishna, with God, being Krishna conscious, in the presence and association of Krishna through His holy name, Radha Krishna. Yes, it's so nice. And yes, I do it by this japa, which is such a nice meditation. These beads helps me to concentrate on the mantra and the Krishna, Radha Krishna there in that mantra. And yes, that's the inner understanding that it's really about, right? Whilst another one may say, yes, I do that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I do it as quickly as possible to get it done. And now, good, I did that part. And then next one, listening to the class there in the morning. And I'm just saying how it used to be in the temple. And it still is, of course, some temples are not that exact standard anymore. But, you know, go to Mangalarati, do your rounds and the deity greeting and the Guru Puja and the lecture and the breakfast and then the service. Da 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 da, working, working, working. And lunch and working, working, working. And don't think, just work. Serve, serve. And then evening program, Bhagavad Gita, Guru Arati, and evening milk. I mean, that's how life was in Radhakund, where I joined and lived there, which was very nice for us. But still, it's a program. It's a set of activities done. And for someone who is a brahmachari like that, and who's a beginner and who's coming, joining there and giving up everything else, deciding I want to do this 100%, it's very nice, it's very helpful. But if one thinks that this is now my life and it's going to be my life for the rest of my life and I won't do anything else, then it may be that your life has turned into a program. Every day after day, doing the same activities, following that program, not missing anything, because then you are bad. You know, in a kind of almost automatic and routine way. And maybe one will even, and now I sound very negative, but it, I think we can all find that in our own lives. It might be that you're doing that and you're not really that very much happy about your life or even thinking much about Krishna. It's just that, how can I do this and how can I finish my rounds? How can I, you know. So that may also happen. So what I'm really trying to get to here is that, you know, I don't think that's what Krishna wants of us, to just be like going on automatic mode, everyone basically doing almost the same activity every day. And what I can see happening sometimes then is that devotees, they kind of appear to be a bit afraid of being themselves. Some even seem to have forgotten themselves. I remember we used to, when we joined, we were kind of told by each other, again, we were all beginners, that the life you had before you stepped in the door here to the temple, it doesn't exist. Just you. That was just a previous life, and that was not you even. I heard devotees say like that when I speak, you know, about that previous life before we joined the temple, that no, that person doesn't exist anymore. And what remains is that kind of, I would say, a person living on a track of routines, of program, but where is a real person? Yes, here I see a person who is appearing as a Vaishnava, dressing that way, acting that way. Yes, being a very good at that and bona fide and all that. But a person that also, you start wondering, who is this person really? Is this the real person, or is this what I see is how that person is trying to behave properly, being a Vaishnava, trying to follow that program as well as possible. But what's really there? Who is that person actually? Well, that person may not even dare to show that, thinking that, well, that, you know, what do you mean? This is me. And that, you know, other me there, which I used to be before, that doesn't exist anymore. We're afraid of ourselves if we get to that point. It can become like that. And I don't think Krishna wants us to be afraid of ourselves. I don't think he wants us to be like standardized types produced by some factory, a Vaishnava factory. Look here, we feed in a karmi and out comes a nice polished Vaishnava. I think Krishna wants us to really be ourselves. And if you ask me, now I'm almost 70. I started really looking at my whole life, which I guess is common when you grow old. Memories, you know, oh, it used to be this when I was a kid, and then I was young, and it was like that, and all those mistakes and those mistakes. But yes, that was a good choice I made there. And In other words, I'm sitting here with a life that I have lived since I took birth. And it was the way it was. It is the way it is. But here I am now, and I'm so happy. I've got Krishna in my life. But what I did before I, for instance, came into the Krishna temple, was me stepping out into the world and, you know, what am I going to do? Who am I? What's my nature? Yes, artistic. Yes, scientific. You're that person, that person. This is what I... the fire that burns in my heart that leads me into life, what I'm going to work with, what I'm going to do in my life. And that's important. That's about living. The nature we have. Yes, an ashram, for instance, is based on that. We have also material. We have a nature. Of Dharma in this life, and to find that, yes, this is me, this is what I want to do, and then, yes, how can I do it for Krishna? I think that's what Krishna wants. He wants to see us live our very personal, individualistic life, but then at least that's the prayer that I have within nowadays, is that just let me become myself, really, for real. Me, just me, the way I actually am, as much as I can be that way and still remain in this world because I've got something to do here still. That's all I'm praying for to Krishna nowadays. I just want to become myself. Get rid of all the unwanted, you know, the anarthas that are covering over that. And yes, being there with Krishna, who we are with always, and just, you know, here I am, use me as you like. Please give me the intelligence, the inspiration, the strength and ability and the wisdom to do that which I am here to do for you. Or to do that which I am inclined to naturally to do, and do it for the way you want me to do it. And for me, it's, you know, how can I do this for the Sankirtan mission? How can I help somehow or other with the nature I have, the life I have here, to serve the Sankirtan mission, to spread God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to as many people as possible in this world. And I think that, you know, when you're at that point, and it doesn't have to be, you know, that I'm a missionary man or woman that have to do this hard work. You might, I mean, some there are getting of age like I am, and who knows where I will be in 5 years, 10 years. They just turn more inward. Meditation, being with Krishna there within. Body starts to get old, it gets sick. May get, and whatever happens in the future, we don't know. So unwind, close down your active life in this world and say, yeah, thank you for this time. Now it's me and Krishna, my closest ones. You know, so we all have our different paths like that. But we also should never judge each other, because as I am also over and over saying here, each one of us has a private relationship to God, which none of us can judge another for, because we don't know what's going on in there in the heart and soul of each one. So why I'm talking this is not to judge anyone, saying this, you're doing wrong, you're doing right. I'm more advocating the freedom of the devotee and how Krishna wants us and has made us like that, free. Free to desire this or that, free to, you know, of course, within our karma and guna constitution here in this body we have, and the mind, to build up our life. Some are artists and they create beautiful things. Some are doing wonderful handcraft. I mean, I've really started to appreciate older cultures. And if you go to India still, you can see carpenters sitting with extremely simple tools, and but really skilled how to use those to produce beautiful things made out of wood. And the, you know, the potters with their simple potter wheels, and I mean, whatever you are doing, whatever your nature is, whatever you are drawn to in your heart to do, do that, live that life, and try to learn it very well. That's how we become satisfied. Look, I can learn this, and I managed, and then I can use this for something good. But then there, deep inside, we turn to Krishna and we will find that. If you are young now, you listen to this, I can almost promise you that when you are my age, what we old timers tell you, you will experience too, that yes, so many trials and tribulations and challenges and ups and downs and glorious victories and embarrassing failures, they will come and go through life. But what they are there for, and what you eventually learn to do by the mercy of Krishna, is to more and more take shelter of Krishna, realize that, gosh, yes, I can come here with my great plans and ideas and, you know, being the controller and enjoyer here, I can figure it out, and no, don't tell me what to do, I know what to do. And then smack head in the wall, oh, that didn't work. How can I adjust it now? And then, of course, listening to wise advice from those who know more, who have gone through it themselves often, but also, and that happens more and more as one grows older, And one realizes that, my goodness, there's no other shelter than God and Krishna here. I may have family and all that responsibility on my shoulders, and I live in a society where economy can collapse any day, and you know, I can lose my job if I even have a job, and what about my living, my home and my apartment or my house? And it's a kind of a very insecure world now. When I grew up, when I was a kid, it was much more secure and stable. And today many people are worried and nervous and anxious and fearful sometimes. And if you're a devotee like who has seen and who is seeing deeper into life, that it's not just about making money and struggling for power or struggling for, I mean, it's a heavy struggle sometimes, and devotees are not so much interested in that. And that makes us even more vulnerable, but also more forced, you could say, to just take shelter of Krishna there in the heart. And that's the purpose of it all. We say surrender to Krishna, saranagati. That's what it's all about. That's bhakti yoga in a nutshell. So whether our activities, you know, our job, our work here in our lives is directly done for Krishna, serving the Sankirtan mission or something, or it's something we do to maintain ourselves and out of our own desire and nature. Yes, I like to do this. When you are a devotee, your relationship to Krishna is there in any way, anyhow. It's not dependent on your external activities or social situation or so, or like that. So what I'm really trying to say here is that, you know, yes, you're a young person now. Maybe you're an old one, but if you're a young person who want to be a devotee or consider yourself a devotee, live your life fully. I mean, dare to be yourself, not just some standard type molded and steeped into some form and shape that some say, this is how a devotee is. And know that the way a devotee is someone who there in the heart and deep inside has a relationship to God, to Krishna. You can sit in your home, as I do much nowadays, in my old days, happy to be free from any of those responsibilities I had carried on my shoulders, you know, for Krishna, and now still having other responsibilities on my shoulder, but just being here. And sometimes I just walk around in my apartment talking to Krishna. Because I know Krishna is a person who is with me. He's my best friend. And Krishna loves me. And I love Krishna. But now my love is pretty covered over by modes of nature. But just the same thing with people. You live with people and who you love, and we learn to love better, more, and show that love as much as we can. It's not a matter of performance ability, but, you know, it's a personal relationship there. And I have that relationship to God, to Krishna. And I can see, and I spoke to other devotees, you know, my generation, so to speak, say the same. Yes, Krishna is leading me. I can feel it. And yes, I may not do the standard things, following the programs, this and that. But here I am now, and I only have left my relationship to Krishna. And it's becoming more and more real, more and more personal. Because, and I can tell you, if you find it strange talking to God in your apartment, that's how I started before I joined in the summer, before I came in contact with ISKCON. I sat down and I spoke to God in my kitchen, I remember, out of the heart. And from that point, I felt from within very strongly God saying, you know, I'm leading you now. You don't have to worry anymore about anything. Which, still today, almost 50 years later, I can testify, proved to be true. So when Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita that if you turn to him in bhakti like this, personal, then yes, I will protect you, Krishna says. I will provide what you need and preserve what you have. That's what it's really all about. Hare Krishna.